Hello and welcome to the Breakthrough Coaches podcast coaching series, session 5, entitled How to Roll Out the Breakthrough Coach to Your School Community. I'm Jill Pankost, president of the Breakthrough Coach. If you're listening to this session, you're a graduate of our Foundations course, How to Work Less, Produce More, and Still Get the Job Done in a Sensible School Week. The purpose of this audio series is to support our graduates in the on-the-job implementation of the Breakthrough Coach program. As with any new program you undertake, challenges will arise. You'll have burning questions for which you'll want answers. You'll come to decision-making crossroads that call for out-of-the-box solutions. And inevitably, breakdowns will happen. This podcast series is designed to support and encourage you through those make or break moments so that you thrive as an administrative team. Assuming that you and your administrative partner have been steadily implementing the fundamental practices over the last several months, your school community members are probably starting to notice the difference. At this point, many may be wondering, what's the method to your madness? Congratulations for doing the heavy lifting to get to this place. It's now time to share the Breakthrough Coach system with your employees, colleagues, and community partners so that your key stakeholders can begin to consciously support rather than unconsciously thwart your efforts. This podcast outlines the steps for doing so. Let's start by acknowledging the various constituencies that make up your school community. The most obvious being your staff, students, parents, and central office colleagues. Each has its own agenda, its own points of view, and its own ways of relating to you that have evolved over time. Therefore, when it comes to explaining your new standard operating procedures, plan on addressing each group separately so you can customize your conversations based on what's most important to each group. Remember, your job is to talk, or more specifically, to train and develop your community members in how to best interact with your front office to get their unique needs met quickly and satisfactorily. Your immediate staff, whether it be your departmental employees or your site-based teachers, is the group to address first because they have the greatest number of daily interactions with you and your secretary, and their equilibrium has likely been the most upset by this new and improved version of you. The sooner staff understands how the fundamental practices work in their favor and to their benefit, and the benefits they'll derive from adhering to them, the sooner peace will reign and you can get back to doing your actual job. With this in mind, this podcast focuses on how to roll out the Breakthrough Coach system to your immediate staff, knowing that if you learn to speak convincingly about the Breakthrough Coach to your closest employees, you will then be able to translate and transfer this conversation to your students, parents, colleagues, and vendors. But before we get into how to introduce the Breakthrough Coach to staff, I believe it's equally important to articulate how not to, what to avoid saying. I intentionally start with my list of don'ts, because I know from my 2 decades of coaching administrative teams, many of you are just itching to do the don'ts. And I'm attempting to head you off at the pass before things go haywire. So take heed. Number 1, don't jump into your Breakthrough Coach explanation and directives like all staff are already prepared to play along. Be aware of the group's stage of receptivity. You're asking them to disrupt their pre-existing patterns, habits, and schedules to operate differently with you, which they will only do if there is A, open communication between you and your staff and between staff and your secretary, B, trust. Do they trust you? Do they trust your secretary? Do they trust each other? And C, integrity. Do you keep your word with them? Do you do what you say you will do when you say you will do it? Do they keep their word with you? Do they keep their word with each other? If these qualities are present in your organization, staff will be more receptive to Breakthrough Coach. Open communication, trust, and integrity are the prerequisites for stepping into your staff's world and bringing them something new. If they're missing, you need to step back and focus on repairing your relationships first. You can't just bring staff what looks to you like the Holy Grail against a background of broken promises and defunct agreements. If you do this, they'll misinterpret the practices as measures you're taking to create more separation between you and them. I repeat, your relationships must be intact first, before staff is ready to receive what you have to offer. Number two, no zealot mindset. You are not looking for converts. Instead, you're asking staff to try something different with you, which will forward everyone's commitment to student success. So do not, A, mention you've been to a course called Breakthrough Coach and let me tell you what they said, blah, 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 blah. This just comes across like the flavor of the week. Guru quoting automatically breeds suspicion. B, don't be preachy, like you now have all the answers to life's biggest questions. You're not a canonized saint yet. C, don't trash the past. No talk like this was bad, so now we're going to do this kind of statements. Bad and wrong talk upsets and alienates people. D, do not announce your new plan of action at an all-staff meeting just because it's a convenient time and place. The bigger the group, the bigger the initial reaction will be, and the more questions you'll need to deal with or defend in the moment. And you're not practiced enough yet with your delivery to go there. And E, do not, under any circumstances, talk about how the Breakthrough Coach is designed to improve your life. Your staff doesn't care about your life. They care about their own lives and how you, as the leader, are going to create an environment that best serves them. Instead, I recommend you approach this conversation with staff from a completely different angle based on the following premises. Number one, there are stated commitments within the organization that you and your staff already share. If you can connect how the Breakthrough Coach system will positively impact those shared commitments, staff will be more receptive to it. Number two, staff always appreciates a leader who knows how to take care of the group's needs and their own. Ironically enough, leaders who overemphasize taking care of the group's needs while sacrificing their own are less respected and easily manipulated. And three, when a leader takes responsibility for their past failings and makes amends, they more often than not earn the respect of their employees. With these three premises in mind, you're going to develop what we call a Breakthrough Coach elevator talk and test run it on a small subset of your staff. An elevator talk is typically an overview of an idea for a product, a service, or project. The name reflects the fact that an elevator talk can be delivered in the time span of an elevator ride. An effective elevator talk can generally be delivered in 5 minutes or less and answers questions like, what's your project? What will the project do for supporters? And why will the project be successful? Developing and test running your elevator talk on a small group gives you the opportunity to clarify and practice your language in a safe space before announcing it system-wide. An initial small group setting is also more conducive to eliciting feedback from staff and addressing a handful of questions rather than a boatload. To get some initial wins under your belt, I suggest you test run your elevator talk on the 20% of your staff who historically respond well to whatever you put in front of them. These are your early adopters or low-hanging fruit. Begin the conversation by restating the commitments you and your staff already share and agree are most important. When you speak to the group's shared values and commitments, your audience can actually hear what you have to say. So you might begin with some version of, given our collective commitment to providing a safe, positive, and stimulating environment while all of us, students and adults alike, can learn and grow, I recognize that it's my job to give you the professional development, resources, and direction you need to do your job well and to advance in your career. Opening remarks like this should elicit positive head nodding all the way around the room. You want your staff to tell you later, you had me at hello. Next, take responsibility for your past transgressions and apologize. You do this not to berate yourself, but to acknowledge the truth about your own history so you can complete this chapter and move on. This portion of the conversation might go something like, unfortunately, I know my actions have not always been consistent with these commitments. You've all witnessed me these last few years, chained to my desk day after day, fighting to keep my head above water, often neglecting or forgetting your requests of me. Susan, I know I didn't get you the supplies you needed for your room when you needed them. Dave, I know I haven't provided the coaching and support you asked for to improve your lesson planning. Donna, I know I've driven you crazy by being habitually late to our meetings. I sincerely apologize for my behavior and the negative impact it's had on each of you. I realize now that I've been lacking some basic skill sets to keep it all straight. Then pause and allow the group to respond. Some staff members may need to reiterate or add to what you've just said in order to complete these misdemeanors for themselves and repair their relationship with you. Prepare yourself. This part of the conversation can be heavy. Keep in mind, though, it's your job to have the difficult and uncomfortable conversations, and by far allowing for some dialogue here, it affords the group the opportunity to heal any lingering resentments and move forward together in partnership. Once you've completed the past, transition to what's next. Your job at this point is to become a compelling storyteller about the future you envision for your professional community and how you're going to support the group to get there. The idea is to entice staff to step into this new future with you. You might say something like, you know, I want to build a staff whose skills are cutting edge, whose expertise is second to none, and who have an outstanding track record of results with students. When you have a demonstrated track record of high performance, your opportunities for advancement are limitless. Then tell them how you're going to get them there. And in order for this to happen, I need to be in your classrooms a lot, coaching you to continuously improve at your craft. This is the work I was sent here to do. Next, explain the Breakthrough Coach practices you've established and underscore how they support the group's shared commitments. For instance, you could start by talking about coaching days. So I've blocked 2 full days each week from the time the students sit down in class until the time they leave to be out in the building observing, teaching, and learning. No agenda in particular. I'm not necessarily coming in to evaluate you, just to support and be available to you. I call these 2 days each week my coaching days. Then make sure to let your audience know what's in it for them. And when I'm out on these days, I want to hear from you. The good, the bad, the ugly, I need to know all of it because it's my job to support you to do your job. And your job is the most important thing that's happening around here. If it's not happening in your classrooms, it's not happening. So lay it all out for me when you see me on a coaching day. Pull me aside in the hallway, catch me at the door of your classroom, or pass me a note when you see me walk by. I would much rather have a human, face-to-face interaction with you than to read about your life in an email. Next, explain the implications of this for the front office and redefine your secretary's role. Because I'm going to be out and about so much, I obviously can't be in 2 places at once. Therefore, I've charged my secretary, Diana, with running the front office. From now on, Diana will handle and run the list. Explain what she will be handling. Articulate the administrative duties your secretary will be taking over from you. Emphasize his or her organizational strengths and educate your staff about how best to approach your secretary to get their needs met. Like, if you need X, Y, or Z, email or speak to Diana. Diana will take care of you much faster, more efficiently, and to a higher degree of satisfaction than if I attempt to handle your requests in between running from here, there, and everywhere. Your staff will all be shaking their heads yes when you make this point. Don't take offense. This is how you continuously elevate your secretary's role. Continue with an explanation of office days without using any jargon. So something like, and when you need to speak privately with me, I want you to have that time also. Some of you and I haven't had a 15-minute conversation together since I've been here. I want to be able to focus on you individually without interruption or rushing because I value your time. You don't have much time. So if you need me one-on-one, please see Diana and make an appointment to talk with me on a day when I'll be working in my office. Talk with Diana first. She'll determine when you're available and schedule us for a face-to-face behind closed doors. You'll only need to ask once. Diana will take care of the rest. I will then be there for you on time, present, and available. This would also be the moment to explain to staff that you and your secretary will be meeting every day to confer about how best to address their needs. Assure staff that your secretary will be receiving daily input and guidance from you as he or she assumes control of front office operations, and reiterate your absolute confidence in your secretary's ability to hold down the proverbial fort. Finally, request that staff support your learning curve by providing you and your secretary with feedback as to what's working or not working as expected, and encourage them to make suggestions as to how you could improve. I recommend you deliver this elevator talk at least 5 times to 5 small staff member groups before you take your show on the road at an all-staff meeting. Presenting initially to small groups will help you refine your explanation based on the receptivity and questions of your early adopters, and it will prepare you for the experience of an all-staff meeting. Now, things to keep in mind as you progress down this path. Number one, just because you said it doesn't mean they got it. Plan on having to reiterate your elevator talk multiple times, no matter who you're in front of, staff, parents, central office colleagues, vendors. Invent new and creative ways to keep reminding your community about how you're now operating and the benefits to them when they play along. During year one implementation, broadcast a monthly message to each constituent group that outlines how best to engage with you and your front office. You can use print media, but other forms of communication work well too and often require less effort to put together, like doing a shortened version of your elevator talk at every PTO meeting, or using your voicemail and email auto-reply messages to remind people you're out in classrooms and direct them to your secretary for assistance, or establishing a website column that specifically outlines your front office procedures. Number two, whichever way you choose to stay on message, include tangible examples of how the new system is making a positive difference. Talk to staff about what you're noticing on your coaching days, what looks good or what's in need of improvement. You can share your focus for that month or give them a heads up as to what to expect when they see you during your next series of coaching days. Share with parents what you're seeing in classrooms and acknowledge specific students in your reports. Cite success stories related to following the new protocol, and thank your parents publicly for supporting the system. Update your supervisor regularly about your classroom visits and tell them what you're doing to impact what you're seeing. Make it clear that you're using your coaching days to directly forward your shared commitments. Go on record. Publicize your accomplishments and thank people for their partnership. Number three, use the feedback you're getting throughout the month to design next month's message. When you do this, people feel acknowledged. They can see the tangible results of their efforts and how their efforts are forwarding everyone's shared commitments. And finally, number four, not everyone is going to like this. Get used to it. Some of your community members will sometimes try to hijack the system. You and your secretary must practice holding firm and maintaining your boundaries. And these are skills we practice together in the webinar series when you enroll. Sometimes you'll look like the bad guy. I'm sorry, this ain't a beauty contest, folks. This is about getting the job done for students. You're not going for good looks or likability here. You're going for respect and the opportunity to impact student outcomes. Do what you say you're going to do and manage with integrity. In summary, building organization-wide support for the Breakthrough Coach is a necessary step in the implementation process and should be conducted with careful forethought and practice. Always lead with the community's shared commitments and how the Breakthrough Coach practices will positively impact them. Take responsibility for your past behavior without beating yourself up or making others wrong, and give yourself and your team permission to move forward. And remember, this is not about what's best for you or me or whomever you happen to be speaking to at the time. This is about what's best for students. Be clear with people that this intention will always guide your actions. Thank you for listening. This is the end of podcast number 5.